Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Attention Talk Radio, the show centered around paying attention to what is being paid attention to, with your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper.
Welcome, welcome. Welcome to Attention Talk Radio. Today is Friday, September the 18th, 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Today's topic is computers, a metaphor that can help those that have attention deficit disorder. With me today in our virtual studio, tripping over my tongue, is ADD coach Dan Pruitt from Team Park Air Coaching. So welcome, Dan.
How you doing, Jeff?
I'm doing excellent. Before we get into start talking about computers and how it can help those with ADD, for the listeners, tell everybody about your business, where you're located, a little bit of what you do so everybody understand that stuff before we get into things.
Well, I'm an ADD coach. I'm here in Atlanta, Georgia. I deal with ADD people primarily, ADD, OCD with Tourette syndrome, LEDs. It is called Team Park Air Coaching. I work within a clinic called Park Air Consultants, and there are a couple coaches here that that help people deal with their life.
Awesome. Now, you know, Dan, this today's show was actually spurred, I can't remember when, about 18 months or 2 years ago, I heard you give a telecast and a presentation taking the components of a computer, hard drive, processor, RAM, and stuff, and kind of framing out in the context of ADD that was, I thought it was very insightful and very useful. Can you explain kind of your concepts on that a little bit, and then we'll break it down. Then we'll just maybe talk about how it could help those who have ADD.
Absolutely. This is a metaphor for what I use to teach people and get people to understand their need for assistance, especially when it comes around to dealing with time management, information management. Time management really is a subset of an information management system. And it deals with and it relates to how our ADD brains typically, as a characteristic, have a limited working memory capability. Okay, working memory is just one of the parts of the types of memory that you have. Memory is like 20 different things working simultaneously. And working memory is the person's ability to hold information in your mind.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that when you're working and you're trying to learn the time management system, most people who come in and work with me, they're trying to learn time management. It is disorganized, disintegrated type of system. Most people don't have nothing. But most people are still, they try and write things down, but they're still keeping a lot of stuff in their head. They're still trying to keep in their memory what they are doing. Okay? And the problem is with our working memory, it's too small. It
mm-hmm.
is too limited for what we do, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So that our working memory needs assistance. It needs a system to aid it, and that's where the computer comes in, okay? Because in a regular computer, for those people who are computer literate, that a computer has a hard is it has RAM. It has the operating. It has the computer chip. Sorry, I'm getting my things. It's got the computer chip. And it's got the input system, it's got the output system. With the keyboards are the input system. The output system is the screen. And it has the computer chip itself, and it has RAM, okay? The hard disk is actually storage, okay?
Kind of like the files in Office. It's where you store the files, right? And then when you turn the computer on, you actually start to pull the files out?
Exactly. The hard drive is a storage system. Your computer
mm-hmm.
does not need the hard drive to operate. Okay, it only operates with RAM and the system itself. Okay?
And I think doesn't RAM stand like random access memory?
Random access memory. It is a memory chip separate from the hard drive.
And if I'm not mistaken, RAM actually, in a physical computer, it actually requires electricity. That's why when you unplug your computer, it just kind of evaporates, like real quickly. Okay. So RAM is kind of like that working memory that you're describing that's kind of in front of you when you're dealing with something that's there.
Exactly. The RAM of the computer is the working memory. And that our problem is that as ADD people, our working memory is too small. When a computer's RAM is too small, what it does is that it takes the hard drive system and it turns a small section of it into a virtual RAM, okay, so that it can still interact with something directly in the RAM mode, but it has an extension system to it, okay?
Just an interesting thing. I always like to think of RAM as like the desktop. Like if you have your desk, you grab your files out of the filing cabinet, the hard drive, and then you put them onto your desktop, which is the RAM. And like mm-hmm. imagine those with ADD have enough for like one sheet of paper. So what they do is it's kind of like they stack them all up, and their RAM, they start having a hard time getting to things because like you have to move stuff and blah, blah, blah. Whereas if you have a lot of RAM, you can kind of spread it out and kind of move it around. So the kind of what I'm hearing you say a little bit is ADD – if we think of the brain as not having a lot of RAM, there's really not a lot of place, so that concept of virtual RAM really kind of is an important concept to come in to play here.
Right, it is, because when our brains run out of working memory, it needs a place to extend it to, and that's where the time management system comes in. Okay, that is how it fits into this metaphor. The
okay.
time management system is virtual RAM
mm-hmm.
for our brains.
Yep.
Okay. It is not just where you store information. It's not just where you write it down, okay? You know, that's not where you just hold your papers. It's
mm-hmm.
an extension of your memory system, okay?
Fascinating.
It is, look, you see how important that it is?
Yep, absolutely.
Okay.
It becomes to think of in terms of that, to actually kind of think of, like, how am I going to come up with my virtual RAM and be able to rely on it, sounds to me like it can be real powerful.
Absolutely. And it continues the discussion about how important it is, how you always have to keep it with you. Your time management system is not just something that you write down and work with for 5 minutes in the morning and then walk away without it.
Okay? Yeah, it becomes kind
of
a part of
that
you.
It has to be a part of you. It has to be an appendage to your body, essentially, because
mm-hmm.
that's what it is. It's a virtual extension of your working memory. It always, 95% of your day, your time management system has to be within reach.
Fascinating.
For it
to
be successful.
Just to kind of complete the metaphor, I always like talk to people like, you know, you have your hard drive and you have the RAM of your desktop. Also, think of the worker in the chair as actually being your processor of a computer. And ADD, the brain sometimes, I like to, it goes 100 miles an hour. So you got a really, 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 really fast processor and a very
right.
small amount of RAM. So things are moving so quickly in the mind that you don't have a lot of RAM, but you also need another reason really to have this virtual memory as a part of you so that you can be able to store information and retrieve it very quickly to actually manage yourself and move yourself forward.
Right, yeah. Your system has to be part of you, so it really has to be attuned to who you are, what your habits are, what your idiosyncrasies are, you know, what your limitations are. It can't be something that you pick up off the shelf. It has to be, you know, it's specifically, you know, geared and recreated for who you are.
And that's one of the things that a lot of the listeners of this show, as I reiterate, is that most systems are built based off of who you are. They resonate kind of like how you naturally learn or how you naturally process, not necessarily who you think you're supposed to be. So what I'm hearing is thinking of this as when you're building some of these systems, start with what you know or what works for you and build from that, as opposed to like picking something off the shelf and trying to force yourself to do it a certain way.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Most of my clients that come in here don't have a lack of a time management system. They have a system that's not integrated to who they are.
Mm.
Okay, and so that you really don't have to change that much. You have to, really, the most people have to do is to be true to who they are and stop picking up things and trying to do it the way other people are doing it.
Mm.
Okay, there's one thing to learn, yeah.
Good, finish your thought. Did you have any like working examples of some people that you work with to kind of give the listeners an idea of somehow, like, you know, structurally how sometimes this can play out?
Okay. Well, I have, let me see. Wasn't ready for that, so let me come up.
Well, that,
I have.
I'll give an example of it's similar to this. Is I had an individual who, in terms of time management, it's not totally related to time, but it is related to tasks. They actually would keep a pad of paper with them that they would, unlike your normal thought of a task list, where you'd actually write out a task, they'd actually draw a picture of what the task was. And it was interesting because they witnessed to me is drawing that picture because they organized information in their head visually. And when they would see a picture, would remind them of the task and everything that was associated with that task. And to-do list didn't really work for them very well because, as they described to me, is you have to read like symbols and assemble the symbols into words and words into a sentence to paint the picture in their head. So they would draw pictures to represent a to-do list, and they would carry with them this wherever they would go. And he said it was interesting, whenever I needed to do something, I would just flip up the piece of paper and take a look at the picture. And it's not a time management issue, but it's a task management issue where that notebook that they would carry with them was kind of like their virtual RAM. But the neat thing is for them, because they naturally thought in terms of pictures, is all they had to do was look at the picture, and it would bring an instant reminder or instant association to them. They go, oh, yeah, now I remember that. I'm supposed to do this, this, and this. And the structure of, A, doing it in pictures, which is kind of the way they naturally organize the world, and keeping this with them all the time really served as the virtual RAM and helped them to accomplish more things in a day that they couldn't before, because they would either wouldn't pay attention to the list or couldn't remember what they were supposed to get done.
Yes. Yeah, I have. Yeah, a lot of clients come in and they go out and buy one of these. There's two major brands, and these major brands, they do wonderful stuff. You know, what they have there it can be useful, but there's only like 10% of it that is useful. These people are in the business of selling paper. So when you pick up, okay, most when people that come in here and bring their thing, they still have all this other paper in this time management system. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And the first thing you have to do is you have to get rid of all of that, you know, because it's in the way. If you're not using it, you have to have a slimmed down time management system. That's what one thing most people don't think about with the system that they do. It has to be slim and buff, okay? And only what is necessary is what is there. Okay. So I'm just thinking of a client I'm just starting with. You know, recently, the first thing we did is we opened up this thing and we took all this extra stuff out. And she looked at it and went, "Wow, this is really nice." You know, because we had talked about it. And she sort of grudgingly did it and sort of pushed it through and then, "Wow, this is really good. I can use this." You know,
what did it look like before you started? What is some of the stuff that you took out?
Well, it's all that stuff. It's the international, you know, dates. It is the, you know, the where to rent a car in Germany. It is the telephone book, you know, which is outdated at this point with the way computers are. There's things to save invoices. You know, the metric conversion type things. There's all this stuff there. You know, and then there's sample pages for how to write, you know, different ways of writing notes or different ways for mileage and stuff like that. There's all of that stuff, you know, is just in the way, okay? Because, you know, most people, when they pick things up and they pick a time management stuff, they can do it for 2 or 3 weeks. Anybody can take up and spend, you know, $120 and work with the time management system for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks. Everybody can do that. But then you get sick, you get problems, you get late, you go on vacation. This system that you've been holding on to and working very hard, you drop it all and you can't pick it back up again because it's too far away from who you naturally are. Okay, so that is the first lesson I teach anybody, is that you have to look at who you are, what you're already doing. You don't have to change that much. Okay, you don't have to pick up that much. I got one client who is a computer geek. She's an IT geek. Okay, so that the only thing we talk about with her is to get an iPhone, get an iPad, iTouch, or something, because it is the one thing that would integrate her two different time management systems: the one that's at home on her desktop at home, and the one that's at the office.
That's interesting.
Because that's all she needed.
It's interesting you bring that up. Just to digress for a second, is you alluded to, like, there's a home calendar, a home time management system, and a work time management system.
Mm-hmm.
In your experience, have you found those with ADD struggle managing two systems? Is it better to have them separate?
Oh, it is very difficult. If you can, you need to have only one system. Okay, there's one life, there's one person, there's one timeline here that we're talking about. So there's only one time management system that works. Okay, because, and the problem, it becomes problematic if you have two systems, because if you write something on one and you don't write it on the other, then the one that you're looking at, which doesn't have it on it, really isn't complete. So you start losing trust in it,
mm-hmm.
that it's really not complete. So you stop allowing it to be your memory, so you start keeping it in your head. And
mm-hmm.
as soon as you start doing that, it's like falling off the wagon again. Okay, you start keeping everything in your memory because you don't trust what's written in front of you, because you don't know if it's on this time management system or the other time management system.
That's fascinating, because what I'm hearing you saying is those with two separate time systems, you know, intuitively they're separate, so it's not necessarily simple. And when you start to miss, you know, not copy the stuff over one side so they don't mirror, you start to lose faith in it. You start to lose them as the virtual RAM. It takes you kind of right back to where you were.
Exactly. Because you have to trust this system. You have to create a system and give over to it. You have to give over trust to it that what you need to remember is written down somewhere, so you don't have to keep it in your head anymore.
Mm.
And so, but okay, so saying that there can only be one is in this real world with adults who have jobs with computers and where the company gives you a time management system, it's just not realistic to say you can only have one. But if you do have two and you're forced into have two, that you have to be very strict.
Mm.
I mean, you have to have rules and of exactly what is on each one, so that you know you can still trust it. The whole point is trusting it.
Mm.
Okay, so that your personal stuff is all on your personal stuff, and your business stuff is all on the business stuff, and it doesn't intermix.
So you block out time. This, you know, nothing's from 9 to 5 because that's work, because
that's
calendar.
That's work. Yeah, work.
And
yeah,
this is
yeah,
home,
the other
home.
Calendar is here, and the other calendar is over here.
You don't cross-pollinate. Really, the idea here is to keep it simple.
Cross-pollinate, right, exactly. Yeah, right. Because you have to trust that the information there is all the information.
Absolutely. I tell you what, Dan, if you don't, let's run to a commercial break, and then we'll dissect some of the stuff. So let's bear with us here.
This is Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. When you're stuck, what do you pay attention to? If you're paying attention to the same logic or level of thinking that created the problem, maybe you need to pay attention to something else. Dick Coaching excavates outcomes by paying attention to what you pay attention to. After all, if you're paying attention to the wrong thing, you're likely paying attention to the wrong solution. To learn more about finding your obvious solution, go to DickCoaching.com and download the free audio file, Finding the Obvious Solutions When They Aren't So Obvious. Don't delay, do it today.
If you have a topic that you want covered or question answered, just email us at info@digcoaching.com.
Be part of the show. Dial 646-652-4409. And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome back. We're here again with Dan Pruitt talking about computers, a metaphor that can help those with ADD. Before we get back into things, I wanted to make a few announcements. One, next Friday, Helen Kornblum will be on our show from the Natural Order Organizing. She's a professional organizer, and she'll be talking about organizing. Also, I want to announce on this show that on October the 16th, Dan's going to be back with us again, and we'll be discussing the many versions of ADD or ADHD. I think that'll be a very fun, fascinating conversation. We'll get into some discussions and realize that the number of versions of ADD is almost limitless, but I think Dan's been able to classify it down into a couple hundred, if I'm not mistaken.
that's an interesting point.
But the topic today is using computers as a metaphor to understand or to help ADDers. And Dan, we've been talking about just the organization and some systems. Is there what other things kind of come to mind in the work that you've done with the people that you think that our listeners would find fascinating or helpful here?
For learning time management systems is that, one, you have to keep it with you at all times. That is the basic rule, and like we've been talking, it has to be natural to who you are. So it has to be something that you want to keep around with you,
mm-hmm.
okay? You know, it has to fit your lifestyle. You know, because I was a carpenter for 20 years, and I used to have a wallet. You know, Daytimer had the little wallet thing in my back pocket. It was perfect because I worked with my hands. It always had to be in my back pocket. But mm-hmm. now I'm an office worker, so I have an 8.5 by 11. It has to fit your lifestyle. You know, rule number two. Okay, and then you have to honor your style of thinking. You know, some people are, when we're talking about computers, we use a lot of computer metaphors here, is that some people, we have two different types of people that I've been learning. This is what I've learned. I've talked to a lot of people about this. There are two different types of people. They're the people that are internal digital. I have the names, internal digital. And these are the people that can use computers. These are the people that can use an iPod or a BlackBerry to type all this stuff in, you know, because that little 2-inch by 2-inch square is all they need, because they have an internal digital visual image of what's going on inside of there, so they don't actually need to see everything. The other type of person, the other class of person, is what I call the external visual. Okay, these are the people that really need to see it. Okay, these are the people that the computer, you know, it's lost in there, that they need the 8.5 by 11 piece of paper, you know, open it up to be able to see it, so they're able to turn pieces of paper. And so you have to learn who you are and honor that and not try to be who you are, who you're not.
I think that's an exceptionally important point. You gotta start with what works for you. And mm-hmm. as you had said, you know, there's the digital people that can do that. You have the external visual. I'd also like to add that I've worked with some people that are very verbal, and sometimes it helps them literally to talk to other people, say, listen, I need to talk out mm-hmm. loud, kind of get my thoughts out here. It is a form of organization. It doesn't dovetail totally into time management per se, although some of them say, you know, let me talk out loud. What do I have kind of coming up? And they start to recite it. But there's also some people that I've worked with that they're very physical, and they find having a piece of paper where they actually kind of start to doodle and start to write, as they start to think mm-hmm. about and organize their thoughts of their day, or try to think about the time to actually physically kind of write that down. And who you are and what will work for you is as individual as you are. And
exactly.
It's important to start there first, because if you are visual, start there, because if you're visual, it works. Try to be more who you are. Don't try to be who you think you should be.
Exactly. Yeah, that is a very important point for learning, especially your time management system. Time management system has to work with how your brain works. It has to work with what your habits are. It will last 2 or 3 weeks, because anybody can do anything for 2 or 3 weeks, and then it'll just get dropped and be on the bookshelf somewhere.
Absolutely.
You know, that's why everybody has so many things on the bookshelf. It's because they try to do something that they're not.
And, you know, it's funny, a lot of people who listen to the show, I always talk about, you know, when you're stuck and you have an issue, go look for the obvious solution and apply it. And if it works, great. But if it's not working, you're probably paying attention to the wrong solution. So
mm-hmm.
all those things on the shelves that you've tried in the past, you're paying attention to the wrong thing. And in this show, we mm-hmm. like to talk about, you know, pay attention to what's being paid attention to. If you pay attention to things very visually, pay attention to that and go look for the systems that mirror how you naturally do it.
Mm-hmm.
So, Dan, we started Absolutely. Off, you started off and said it needs to fit your lifestyle, and it needs to honor your style of thinking. Are there any other important rules or things that's worth sharing with people when it comes to these structures?
That you got to keep it with you. all the time.
Mm-hmm.
That's another thing. It really, like I said, it really has to be with you all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And the visual thing. So that those are really the key points to the system that somebody has to be able to work with it. And then you have to trust it. You have to create the system, and then you have to trust it. You have to give over to it. You
mm-hmm.
almost a religious spiritual thing. I mean, you are creating the system to be an extension of your brain, an extension of your memory system. You're going to write things down, and then you have to trust that it's written down. Because
mm-hmm.
the whole point is to get it out of your head. The whole point is to stop operating from scanning your memory to make decisions.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay, because you can't make judgments and prioritize things if you can't see everything. The whole point, when you've written it down and it's all there, that is how you can prioritize something, because you can stand it, you can make decisions globally and whole classes of things. If you're still working in your memory, even though you've written it down, if you haven't given over to it, you're still working out of your head, out of your memory. You're trying to make priority decisions, but your brain isn't fast enough to see everything.
Mm.
So the decisions that you're making aren't adequate, aren't true, aren't the best priority. Because your brain is giving you the things that it sees are important, that it's got a panic button to, it's not seeing the entire picture. That
mm.
is the purpose of writing it down, okay, so that you can scan it and see it and find priority, make prioritize decisions.
It's just, I'll share this as a tangible thing. This is just personal. Years ago, I say years ago, God, it's been 20 years ago. Back when I was in New York in the insurance business and I had sell some stuff to kind of project manage some things, I ended up making 31 hanging files. And this is a little off of time.
Okay.
This is more along the task. And everything that I would do, it ended up having a task. And it, as long as it needed to be done, it would roll through the system. So let's say, like, for example, on this show, Dan, we were talking about setting up, and I sent you some stuff to give you some time to follow up. And let's say it was the 10th of the month. I would send it off to you and say, it's probably, I'm going to give him 3 days, and what I would do is I would take that piece of paper in a file and put it on the 13th, meaning every day when I wake up on the 13th, I go everything that's in that 13th folder and pull it out and say, did Dan get back to me today on this, or should I follow up with him? And I follow,
absolutely.
I follow this religiously every day through execution, and then once it's resolved, I actually file the piece of paper somewhere else. So these 31 hanging files represent each day of the month, and it's always kind of cycling through. And the nice thing about it is because with me, I always say, just send me an email or something, because if I can get that piece of paper and I can get it into my sister, then I am no longer having to worry, relieves me of the burden of having to remember it, because I know the process will take over. And
exactly.
That process is something that I've developed over the years, and it's fun because you think, well, could you do it at work? I mean, I've actually had, I was gone where I'd, at work, I would call back to a secretary or another person in the office, or even I've called home to my wife and said, pull that stuff out. And it's amazing what you can kind of accomplish. But and the beauty of it was I'm a bit physical and a bit visual, and I would write some notes and I got my own stuff. But I became to where I relied on it to the point now where it's just, listen, if you want me to get it done, you need to help me get it in writing, because if you get it in writing, it will get into my system. And then I trust it. I don't worry about it.
That is fantastic, because you're honoring who you are. You know,
yep.
You know you have to have it written down, and you have a system, so you don't have to keep it in your head.
Yep, and you know, it's funny because I share this because when we went digital, my outbox and my emails, the same thing. I've got 31 folders under my inbox, and emails get cycled through. I take them out of set and put them in there the same way. So I actually have a physical one for physical stuff, and I have one in email, so they mirror each other in terms of form. Each day I go to the 15th or whatever, so. We only got about a minute left, and so I want to take some time. Again, Dan, can you, for those out there, particularly in Atlanta, who want to do something in person or just interested, how can they reach you, or how can they get a hold of you?
Well, I am at Park Air Consultants here in Atlanta, Georgia, Marietta, Georgia, actually to honor the city I'm actually in the suburbs of Atlanta here. You Google Dan Pruitt and Atlanta, Georgia, I will come up there as a way of getting a hold of me.
Well, that's awesome, Dan. I'd like to thank you for coming on the show today. With about 20 minutes to go, I want to put in a plug again. You're going to be on the 16th of October, again, for the many versions of Attention Deficit Hyperactive Disorder, and I think it's going to be a great show. We'll be talking about the different systems and how the combinations are almost infinite. So thanks again for joining us today, and we'll look forward to seeing or, I guess, to having you on the show and talking to you on the 16th.
Jeff, thank you for having me. You take care.